Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome to Channel Q, the new Channel Q. You're listening to us on radio. Maybe you're listening on radio.com or your smart speaker. Hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on radio.com. That's as easy as it is to get us wherever you go. It is morning time, and I'm about to try to have one of these cloud macchiatos. Have you heard about these? Ariana Grande is making them now for Starbucks. I mean, how that even happened? What do you wear a lot of that you could now be an ambassador for?
I feel like I could absolutely do a Starbucks endorsement as
I
well.
Agree. And what would your drink consist of, and what would it be called?
It would be straight espresso.
Okay.
With Bailey's.
Ooh, and what's that called?
Doesn't that sound good? It would be called.
Get
you through the week. It's a Thursday.
All right, it sounds like it's time for some news on the beat then.
All right. All right, guys, a collective wave of concern rolled out last night as word spread that Alex Trebek has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. The 78-year-old host of Jeopardy broke the news himself in a video posted on the show's YouTube account. He said he plans to keep working while he fights to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. We do have some audio, so let's take a listen.
Just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me, keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
Messages of love and support quickly filled social media. A sign Trebek is a rare TV personality who can bring us all together. Now, in other news, a Facebook that would put privacy first? Don't laugh. Mark Zuckerberg says that his vision for a new Facebook is just that. The social media giant's founder and CEO laid it all out in a post, saying he wants Facebook to become more secure, including by encrypting messages. Zuckerberg said Facebook would make it easier for users to have messages and content disappear after a certain time period, and he touted Instagram stories, which disappear after 24 hours. He also hinted at integrating the services of Facebook with WhatsApp and Instagram, a move that some say would give the social media platform even more power. All right, moving on. One of China's biggest tech companies is pushing back against the United States. Huawei, the world's biggest maker of telecom equipment, sued the U.S. government over a law that bans federal agencies from buying its products. A company official said Congress acted as judge, jury, and executioner in passing the law. The U.S. wanted the ban because it worries Huawei's products, including its smartphones, could be used by the Chinese government to spy on other nations, something Huawei denies. All right, in other stories, Virginia's first transgender delegate, Danica Rome, countered the virulently anti-LGBTQ Westboro Baptist Church's threats to protest her presence at the General Assembly with hashtag Westboro Backfire, a call via Twitter to donate to her reelection campaign. In less than a week, she's raised more than $26,000, Rome tweeted earlier this week. Rome's call to action was in response to the Westboro Baptist Church's press release in late February, announcing it intended to protest Rome at the Virginia State Capitol and near Virginia Commonwealth University campus on March 11th, according to the Washington Blade. Now, the Westboro Baptist Church got wind of Rome's strategy and responded, calling her a greedy fundraiser and God's enemy, she tweeted over the weekend. Among its many hate-fueled actions, the Westboro Baptist Church has famously protested at the funerals of fallen soldiers and shooting victims and at Matthew Shepard's funeral. Now, when we come back, we will be joined by psychologist James Cantor, where we will break down what is happening with R. Kelly, what's going on with Michael Jackson and Leaving Neverland. And I'm really interested to see what he has to say.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring him on because we're having conversations about the Fighting Neverland and child abuse, child sex abuse. And the way that it all went down via this Leaving Neverland documentary on HBO was kind of shocking and not what I expected. So I wanted to see a kind of from the perspective of someone who treats people who are dealing with these kinds of attractions, what the shape of that is and how we could prevent or even if there are any warning signs, if you someone you know perhaps is being abused, look out for.
Yeah.
But we need an expert for that. So we're so thankful that Dr. James Cantor is going to come on the show and talk to us about that in just a couple minutes.
Absolutely. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q on radio and radio.com. We'll be right back.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon, and we are still thinking about this Leaving Neverland documentary where two grown men now talk about how they protected Michael Jackson in height of his sexual allegations against these children, the sexual abuse that he alleged that these guys alleged happened when they were 7 and 10 years old for several years at the hands of Michael Jackson. And so we wanted to bring in an expert on this, Dr. James Cantor. He is trained in psychology in the Boston University, of course, but it works with issues around human sexuality and sexual abuse. And so we figured he'd be the perfect expert to weigh in. Dr. James Cantor, thank you for coming on and chatting with us.
Thank you, James Cantor.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
So I wanted to ask you a question. You know, these two young men came forward. They're now, I think, close to 40, but these claim these sexual acts happened at Michael Jackson's house and elsewhere with Michael Jackson when he was a grown man. I guess we're trying to figure out, what the shape of that is in terms of what might have been going through, if this was true, Michael Jackson's head. We're trying to understand how an adult could have these attractions and sort of, develop these somewhat mirroring adult relationships with these kids.
Excellent question. Now, of course, as you hinted, I have to start out with saying I have no actual evidence to either discount or back any of these allegations.
Right.
You know, there's no way for me to pass
the
real kind of judgment on them.
Sure.
But taking what they said in Leaving Neverland at face value, the behavior that they were describing of Michael Jackson is very, very familiar to what people who work with sexual abuse and sexual abusers see. Mm. We call it grooming.
Right.
The pattern is usually that people find kids who are kind of open or malleable to the advances of the person who's attracted to children. They test out, you know, who they can form the relationships with, and then go further and further as far as they can.
Wow.
As for what's going on in the mind of the pedophile, that's probably one of the most, unfortunately, one of the most misunderstood things in crime prevention and in abuse prevention. Unfortunately, although understandably, most of us look at a pedophile and all we perceive is pure evil.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, of course, that's exactly true. That's a natural part of our protecting children.
Right.
So even though the behavior that we're trying to prevent is indeed an evil one, thinking like that is not actually going to help us prevent the actual acts. We need to understand exactly, as you said, what's going on in the mind of the pedophile if we want to change that mind or prevent that line of thinking.
It's fascinating.
From the point of view of the pedophile, his, almost always a he, sexual attraction to children is natural.
I see.
Pedophiles, as best as we can tell, are born with a sexual attraction to children in the same way the rest of us are born with a sexual attraction to adults.
Why do you think that is, Dr. Cantor?
We have a long, long line of research that clue by clue keeps pointing in that direction. For the longest time, and really only until research from my own team and related teams, just in the past 10, 15 years or so, most of the time people thought that being an abuser Being an abuser is caused by having been a victim of an abuser.
Sure.
We call that the abused abuser hypothesis. Kind of in this old Skinnerian learning way, people just kind of act out whatever was acted upon them. Now, again, that was very logical. It was a reasonable theory, but there was no evidence for it.
Right.
What we have found evidence for are these, as I say, and over time, these clues have mounted up, clues that something is different in the brains of these people. Their IQs show a slightly different pattern. Their mean IQ is slightly lower. On memory tests, again, they scored slightly lower. They're about 2.5 centimeters shorter on average. You know, things that people can't fake or are not something that develops over the course of life. And the big clue was that where roughly 8 to 10% of people are left-handed, it was over 30% of the pedophiles.
Mm. Whoa.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
Well, right.
Dr.
There's
James
only
Cantor.
One thing that causes handedness, and that's basic brain organization.
Wow.
So the only way that we were showing, you know, this elevation among pedophiles is that there had to be something different in basic brain organization, and that that thing had to be present even before birth.
Wow.
Well, we're with Dr. James Cantor right now. I want to ask you, is pedophilia a form of child abuse?
Well,
By itself, no. That's an excellent question. The number one take-home point that I always like to drive home with any audience is that pedophilia is not a synonym for child abuse. Pedophilia is the actual sexual interest in children. These people are genuinely turned on by children the way the rest of us are genuinely turned on by adults, and they didn't pick that. What they do pick is how they express that behavior, whether they suppress it, whether they come to a therapist for whatever kind of help, or if they actually act out on it. So the pedophiles that we hear about are the ones who give into it and actually hurt somebody.
But
we never hear from the great majority of them who, through no fault of their own, figure out, you know, that they're into kids. They're still getting crushes on kids, even though they're getting older. You know, they didn't pick it. They do nothing. They stay in secret, and we never hear from them.
That is so.
We have every reason to believe that those are the majority, but we're passing all of our laws and all of our policies based on the offenders. That's where we're making a big mistake, and where we're not engaging in a prevention effort that could be probably the biggest help. We have made it practically impossible for these pedophiles who have not hurt anybody. We have made it practically impossible for them to come in and get help.
Oh, that's another thing, because we always think of how can we prevent this? How can we draw, you know, solutions from this issue? And if there is an environment in which these guys who are mostly, like you said, guys are having these urges or attractions, and there's not a safe space for them to go get treatment, that probably only adds to the number of, instances that could have been prevented.
Exactly. We want our laws to be aimed at prevention, but instead they're aimed at revenge.
Wow,
now, I understand the revenge, that's justice, but it's too late. We haven't helped anyone, we're just enacting revenge.
Sure.
The big example is that if a client comes to a psychologist or psychiatrist and says, "Doc, I'm into kids, I need help," very often the mental health provider is required to report that.
Oh.
Right.
Wow.
So now, just think about it for 2 seconds, what's going to happen? These people aren't going to come in for help in the first place.
Right.
Now, who have we helped with that law? Absolutely no one. We might have even made things worse. It just makes, you know, people who, you know, feel victimized or are out for vengeance, aha, we got one. No, you didn't. All you did is drive someone underground.
Wow,
right,
that's
that
a fact. That's so fascinating. Yeah, because I think we think about this, and everyone's so worried about protecting their children from it happening, but we never think of it from the abuser's standpoint and how to get them treated before they act out on their attraction. That's really fascinating.
Exactly. Now, it's natural for us to think, you know, to have sympathy for the victim, but if we really want to solve things, we need to prevent the victim from existing.
Right.
Wow. What a good Dr. James Cantor. Thank you so much for taking time on your very busy day. You'll have to come on and talk to us again when you have time. We just appreciate so much your input on this issue, which is so complex. And thank you for leaving us with that knowledge of the difference of the pedophile and abusers. It's a great clarifying point for this topic.
Happy to do it.
Thank All right, we'll talk
again.
To you soon.
Thank you, Dr. James Cantor. All right, you guys. Well, that was really great. That was so insightful.
I'm so upset. I have so many more questions now.
I know. Well, we're going to stay on the same subject because R. Kelly, some of the interview dropped yesterday.
Oh, my gosh,
there were
Michaela.
Memes. The people are posting about it. He got aggressive. Gayle King was a hero.
She needs a freaking award for sitting through that so calmly.
Yeah. But I want to find out if she was scared. And she actually commented if she was. We'll find out when we come back.
Okay.
Stick around with the new channel, QNradio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome to the new Channel Q. That's such a tongue twister sometimes. Welcome to the new Channel Q. Say it 10 times fast. Anyway, I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon. It's Thursday. We're so thrilled that you're joining us here in the Morning Beat. We just got off a really enlightening conversation with Dr. James Cantor, who was breaking down the difference between abuser and pedophile, and specifically when it came to Michael Jackson. But now it's time to talk about R. Kelly, who's also making headlines. He was recently arrested, I believe last night, for unpaid child support. But really, I kind of feel like it all goes down to the 10 charges against him, specifically for sexual abuse of and sex with minors. There apparently is so much evidence against him. He now owes $161,000 in child support, but he's claiming, how can he pay if his ex-wife is dragging him with what she believes are the facts of their relationship, specifically highlighting the abuse she suffered? He says because of that, he can't work, so he can't pay the money. What do you make of this?
Well, first of all, he's been in the business for 30 years, which he reminded us about 10 times during the Gayle King interview. Mm. Where is all of his money? Even if he's not currently making money with all of those hits, with all of the collaborations.
There's no residual, nothing?
There's no money. You're not making any sort of
payments.
It's just very interesting to me that he just all of a sudden is depleted.
I mean, you know that world better than I do, the music world. I agree with you. I think in my mind, someone had so many hits.
He was in the game when you were still making big money off your records.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like he's in the business now where you kind of like don't really get to make a lot of money and then you have to do A, B, and C. I mean, he had massive tours.
Right.
He had massive hits. He's been with his label forever. I just don't understand. He wrote the songs. He has to be getting residuals. And not a lot of people have really pulled his music off of the radio. I know that there was the hashtag Mute R. Kelly where they wanted to get him off of Spotify. They wanted to get him off of these things.
Right.
But there's no way he's just not making enough money. And actually, $160,000 is not that much for child support for three children, considering the amount of money that he makes.
That's right. So, you know,
monthly.
Let's talk about this Gayle King interview. It was explosive. In many ways, it reminded me oddly of the Brett Kavanaugh hearing. You remember when Brett got so in his feelings and got very loud and dug in deep, really kind of fighting for the claim that he was innocent. We have some audio. This is of R. Kelly sitting across from Gayle King, who literally is just trying to get to the bottom of this whole situation. And this is how worked up he got. Have a listen.
Forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to, love me if you want, but just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing.
Robert.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
I was watching this interview, and I think that a lot of people were fearful for Gayle because he did get so aggressive. He is being charged with 10 counts of aggressive abuse, sexually.
And what was the name of the document? The Lifetime one, Surviving R. Kelly?
Surviving R. Kelly.
A lot of the women that he was in romantic relationships
with said that he was abusive.
Said that he was physically abusive. Like, he would smack them. That's how it kind of started.
Yeah, but when asked by Gayle, when somebody asked Gayle King, are you afraid? She said, no, I was never afraid. I wasn't afraid for my life. I never thought he was going to hit me. I thought he may hit me out of accident because he was flailing around. But I just felt like all I wanted for him to do was stay. I didn't want him to walk out. So I wanted to give him the freedom to be upset. And all I kept saying was, okay, Robert, because I just needed him to stay in the interview. Right. And I thought that was incredible.
Is that how you would interview someone if they got worked up?
Honestly, I feel like for me personally, I'm very much invested in this story, and it would have irritated me that he was causing such a big song and dance and dramatics that I probably would have said something. And then he probably would have walked out. Because you know what I'm saying? He never, in fact, answered the question.
I want to play one more quick. This one's of the parents of the victims, the quote about that. I want to play that. Just have a little listen to this one.
We're going to let the camera keep rolling.
This is not true. It doesn't even make sense. Why would I hold all these women? Their mothers and fathers told me, we're going to destroy your career.
I mean, you know, look, I think there's plenty of evidence. So many women who've come out against R. Kelly. I don't think this is one big conspiracy. I think in this case where there's smoke, I do believe there's fire. I would be very surprised if the evidence that the police department has, including, I think, an alleged video where it looks just like R. Kelly, if this new video that was presented, it honestly just showcases that he did do this. This whole song and dance, like you said, is pointless.
Well, and they're saying it is him based off of a mole that he has on his back that you are able to see in the video.
Yeah, and apparently there's some DNA evidence of some kind as well, so this is not looking good for him.
Well, I mean, we'll continue updating you on R. Kelly. All we know now is he is being detained for the child support. He does have his trial on the 10 counts, I believe, in March. So we'll continue updating you. But when we come back, Wendy Williams is back on her show, and she is back with all of her opinions that I disagree with in every single way. Find out how she feels about leaving Neverland. We're the new Channel Q on radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon. Next hour, we're going to be talking about the rising HIV rates in certain populations. So just figuring out if that population is a population you represent and what you can do to protect yourself. But this hour, we are going to wrap things up with Wendy Williams. She is in the headlines. She returned back to her talk show this week and is already making news with her comments about the documentary Leaving Neverland. I don't want to surmise what she had to say. I'll let her say it in her own words. Have a listen to how she addressed this on her talk show when she was with Chris Witherspoon, who is her gossip correspondent who comes in to talk about it.
I do believe a shower in the nude. I don't believe that there was any sexual touching. I do believe sleepovers in the same bed. I do believe that if Mother Nature takes its course and they, you know, you get a hard penis, I don't believe touching and I don't believe sex. And I do believe that this is a money grab for the families. I do believe.
Okay, come on.
This is what I believe. I believe.
Yeah.
And I've been around long enough. I believe that Joe Jackson, rest in peace, he did the best that he could in raising this showbiz family. Michael became the star of the family. And even though he had all those siblings, he was still trapped in being Michael. In Michael world, you know, sequestered off into his part of the house and doing his thing, watching old movies. I believe that part. Mrs. Jackson, you know, she's not well. She doesn't need to hear this. Mm-hmm. And you know,
what are Michael Jackson's kids? They don't want to hear this either.
Michael
probably.
Jackson's kids, they're not so well.
They're not so well either. Yeah.
At all. But I don't believe any of this. I do believe that this is money for the families. And I do believe that Michael was having a problem with drugs.
So I will, just a disclaimer, Wendy Williams is a diehard Michael Jackson fan. She knows all the Jackson kids and the family and all their songs. She has had them on the show, the relatives on frequently. So she's coming at it from that vantage on that perspective. What about you? I don't know if I ever asked you about the Finding Neverland documentary. Do you believe these guys are just money hungry or do you believe this actually happened to them and it just messed them up for life?
Well, I think it's important to state that, first of all, those boys didn't get paid for the documentary. They just did it out of their own will. Secondly, I don't like Wendy Williams, and I don't usually like her opinions because I think that she's biased. And I think that she's trying to cover up because she continues talking about Michael Jackson's mother and Michael Jackson's children. Well, what about the victim's mother? What about the victim's children? Mm-hmm. We need to turn the tables. I don't understand how she, first of all, she said, I believe one more time I was going to puke. But she was like, I believe that there were showers. First of all, If you don't believe that there was anything happening sexually, but you are okay with or believe that Michael Jackson was showering with a naked 8-year-old,
thank you.
That's a problem in itself. Nobody is going to shower with my 8-year-old nephew, who will be 9 in a few days, happy birthday, and then think that that's okay. So even that, if that's all she believes, is an issue. I think that she needed to take more time off and maybe consider rethinking, you know, where she wants to come from, because...
She always said, listen, I mean, this is the same woman who made a lot of comments that disparaged our community a while back, got into hot water, then started doing advocacy, and then all was forgiven. Look, when it comes to believing victims, I'm going to side on the side of these gentlemen. When you watch the documentary, James, the one guy, James, he just does not seem like this is something he'll ever get over.
I don't think it is something you ever get over, even as the healthiest person. It's always going to be in the back of your mind, and you're always going to think about it for your own children. These two men now have sons. Right. Everywhere their children go,
they're going to be mindful.
They're going to be mindful, maybe even manic. Maybe even the children will suffer because the fathers are now so controlling to make sure that this doesn't happen. I mean, this is a lifelong issue. And, you know, the damage that it causes these men, especially their confidence and their self-worth. You know, it's difficult. I feel like...
I think it's worse that it was the king of pop.
It's worse.
Because they're not believed just because of that.
Yeah, because it's about money, money, money.
It wasn't the monster down the block who drove the weird minivan. Like, it's just this pop star that's beloved.
Yeah.
And he hurt you.
Yeah.
How do you even rationalize that? You know, I think their own guilt for coming out and telling the truth in the face of people calling them liars has to haunt them. And I just think that's so sad.
Well, and people want to keep distracting themselves. Well, where were the parents? Well, why would Michael Jackson do that? Well, what was happening? Throw that all to the side. Who knows where the mother was?
Right.
That's not the child's fault that the mother wasn't there to protect him.
Right.
None of this is Wade or James's fault.
And
it is not the fault that they fell in love with him and were romanticized by him as 7-year-olds.
They were groomed, like you said.
1,000%. And when you start grooming, that's a lifelong
love. And he groomed the family. He groomed the families around them as well, so that no one would think something was up.
Absolutely. And I feel like when those boys had to testify, they do talk about it in the documentary, that all of a sudden they had a new house. The mother had a house that was bought for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why are you buying a house for somebody after they testified for you?
Keep that mouth shut.
Just don't say anything.
Don't say anything bad.
So I have a very strong opinion about that. I don't believe Wendy even believes what she's saying.
We know it'll make you feel better.
What?
An iced cloud macchiato from Starbucks.
Yes.
You can be Ariana Grande. This is going to happen.
That's what I want.
Dear listeners, stay with us to see if Jay and Michaela eventually try the cloud macchiato.
That's right. And when we come back, we've got news on the beat. Find out what very pregnant pop star just released a brand new video. I wonder if she's having the Ariana Grande caramel macchiato with pregnancy cravings.
The cloud? Yeah, maybe.
The cloud. I just think of iPhones when I think of the cloud.
Well, you can store your appetite up there. I'll get you a cloud right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.